This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Mama said there'd be days like this. Good Friday morning, everybody. It is VSiN by the Books. I'm Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. Our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. We look very comfortable and warm in our home studios, in our beautiful VSiN studio here outside, looking over Circus Sports. But Jensen, it's cold. You guys, I thought it was cold here. We got legit snow yesterday here in the Kentucky and Tennessee border. But you guys, are you Spinal Tap today? This one goes to 11. Is that where you are in Cleveland?
Yes. Yeah, buddy. Yeah, the polar vortex has made its way here. We are currently 11 degrees, real feel of 3 degrees. That is how cold it is for Ole Miss fans and their relationship with Lane Kiffin right now. So, it's going to be tough here for about the next week or so, but we get through. I'm just glad that you made it to the casino and to the sports book today, because your neck of the woods, they're not as adept with the snow plowing, with the clearing of back roads. So file that away for the coming months here, buddy. Winter is here. Winter's not coming. Winter is here in your neck of the woods.
I did pick up the bat phone and let you guys know yesterday on our show group text. Hey, we got this going to be something to monitor here, this situation. So welcome to the Tennessee-Kentucky border. Winter, it's certainly on the way, if not already here. What a show we've got. A great one lined up here on this Friday. Going to have Thomas Gable join us here from the Borgata. I'm sure it's cold there. Certainly cold for Cowboy bettors yesterday. We'll get to the takeaways that we saw there. Warren Sharp's going to join us. I know he was not happy with that call against Jake Ferguson late in that game, as it could affect the number. I don't know that it's going to affect certainly the money line price that we saw last night. What about UFC 323? My goodness, Lou Finocchiaro, a great card with two title bouts that we're going to break down here as the show goes on. And Nick Whalen is going to join us here. His Jaguars, all he's known since becoming a dad is victory. But we do have to begin with what happened with those Motor City Kitties and the Cowboys last night in Detroit. And that's where we kick off our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
Now, I know, Jensen, Cowboy backers are very upset at the offensive pass interference call against Jake Ferguson late in this game outside of 3 minutes. Could have made a first and goal at the two. You punch that in, it's a three-point game. I get all of that. But when you give up 44 on defense, you turn it over three times, you lose CeeDee Lamb with a concussion, you're going to lose the football game, Jensen. Not a surprise to yours truly. Officials aside for a second here, you couldn't really make Jared Goff uncomfortable. Jahmyr Gibbs has 3 touchdowns on the day as well. I kind of think at the end, if you're a Cowboy backer like me, you got what you deserved last night in a 44-30 loss.
Yeah, we outside the total, which never had a chance to be under there, we had this one pretty much pegged pillar to post. And a lot of those props that we talked about yesterday and the psyche of the game plan, right? We looked at the under on the Jahmyr Gibbs rush yards. That was never in doubt. We looked at potentially the over on the receptions. That was just the one-man band, right? If you stop Jahmyr Gibbs, you had a great shot. And I think the only outlier, Dave, was the game-time decision of Amon-Ra St. Brown, and he ends up getting not only the first touch, but a lot of the critical touches. That changed for me more so the confidence of how Detroit operated last night. Much different if you don't have your primary receiving weapon. It allowed Jamison Williams to get open a few times in big third down spots. So I'm with you, buddy. I had said it jokingly last night, but I think sleeping on it, I feel the same way this morning. Neither of these defenses are winning a playoff game. If they go out and they do what they did yesterday, you're not getting past anyone above them in the standings.
No, well said too about the Amon-Ra St. Brown, because what you cannot measure when you have that heart to get out there after the high ankle sprain against Green Bay, did not look like he was going to go. I fell for the okey-doke there. When the number did move to 3.5, that's when I jumped on the Cowboys, got a juicier money line price, really did not expect him to play. And then when you got that news that he was going to play, I went, uh-oh. And then 6 for 91. Like, it wasn't a Willis Reed inspirational thing coming off the bench and only plays 7 minutes. He doesn't come out of the game. Dan Campbell talked about that after the game as well. That was a big difference for them. They don't have Amon-Ra St. Brown. I don't know that they win. And CeeDee Lamb went for over 100 yards in basically a half in that concussion that he suffered. And I tweeted this out too, Jensen. I was glad he did not play. You could see he wanted to play. And I'm glad the doctors, he's still a young man. It's still just a game, and his health is still paramount. Now, as a bettor, I would have loved to have that, because I do think you get home with that 3.5 if 88 could have gone the rest of the way. But really, you have to tip your cap a little bit to the Lions, and if you're the Cowboys, be a little bit more introspective today as to why you were chasing the rabbit again for a third week in a row, and you couldn't pull that rabbit out of the hat this time. Conference championships, here we are. They are upon us. And it's going to be a big weekend of college football here, Jensen. We've got some games lined up today and tonight. And so, of course, the big ones are going to be tomorrow, Ohio State and Indiana, and certainly Alabama and Georgia. What are you looking forward to the most? I know certainly that Ohio State-Indiana game in your neck of the woods, but is there anything else you're looking at on Friday potentially to kickstart this championship weekend slate?
Yeah, I mean, I think I go right to North Texas, Tulane, and knowing that they will be right there looking at the James Madison score, too. Are you thinking about the group of five and the highest ranked James Madison, 19th, you look at kind of where the anticipation is of both those games within an hour of each other. But also, you know, the handicapping, we look at this every year in bowl season, right? Is, you know, the motivation of teams when their head coach is moving on or they're getting a new head coach. I think Tulane could be the outlier here in that John Sumrall is going to coach them and then head to the University of Florida to get his tenure getting going there. But I had said it yesterday, and it still kind of stands. You find 2.5s here for Tulane. I think you're in a great spot. Mentioned it yesterday about James Madison. 23s are out there still. I know there's a couple of places that have 23.5. So those are the couple of games, just knowing on the backdrop of the overall college football playoff, those are the games of consequence for what we will see over the weekend.
By the way, with that Cowboy loss last night, when you look ahead to Monday Night Football, it does take a little bit of the luster off of that divisional race here, because now with the Cowboys loss, they go to plus $10 to win the division. Eagles minus 18. And I bring that up because Jalen Carter is not going to be able to go. And this would have been something, I know you and I in our million selections look at this, and we're going to feel a lot better about that without the big monster in the middle there for Philadelphia. Justin Herbert did have surgery on his non-throwing hand, his left hand. His right one's still pretty darn good. He did log limited practice time. You're going to expect him to go as this number sits at 2.5. But for Carter, I've heard sources, Jensen, say that if it wasn't the playoff push, he wouldn't play the final 4 weeks. He's only going to be out officially with surgery on both shoulders. But again, it kind of lessens the blow if you're an Eagle backer now with that Cowboy loss last night.
Really remarkable. So the number is unchanged, right? 2.5s, what we saw yesterday. Then we got the news of that. Yep. And also, as you said, the reports that this may not just be a 1 week injury. And so that is something to really anticipate and try and keep in mind moving forward. The division price is what it is. But Dave, we're still looking at an Eagles team that has yet to kind of put these 2-3 weeks together, mm-hmm. where you're looking at, if you're an Eagle fan, the last couple of weeks, it has not been good. The demolition in Dallas. And then obviously with what happened just this past weekend, you know, you really need a resounding effort from Jalen Hurts and company. And there is just way too much drama swirling around right now. You and I really like the Chargers and potentially a millions play for us, but I think they're very live, as I know you do, to win Monday night outright.
Yeah, and I do wish that pressure was there, because I do think you could feel that had the Cowboys won last night. I wonder if it's alleviated just ever so slightly. The Chargers will be a teaser play for me, 8.5. There's some dance partners out there. We'll get to those later on in the program as well. We did see a streak get snapped. Now, is this a Cal Ripken Jr. streak? Well, it's debatable. But it is still rather significant. For the first time in almost 1,300 games, LeBron James did not score at least 10 points. That streak started January 6, 2007. 8 points. He took his shots, 17 shots, 4 of 17, 11 assists, and 6 rebounds. What do we make of this? He did get the assist on Rui Hachimura's game-winning buzzer-beating three. So team LeBron, victory. Individual LeBron, the streak is over. What do you make of said streak?
Yeah. Yeah, remarkable, right? Just about 6 months after he started the streak, a young champion, yours truly, made his major league debut. So that tells you how much time has transpired, and gosh, kind of a lot's happened since then. But yeah, what a run. And kind of more so now into what we anticipate moving forward is that with Luka being the forefront of this franchise, not only for this year, but also for most of the near future, what will his role be? Is this kind of what we anticipate? It's not necessarily scoring. It's facilitating it. It's still having the threat of being able to score, but in those clutch moments, instead of him being the one that's going to take the shot, now being able to get that to a teammate who can ultimately win the game, and that happened last night.
I'm sure fans will remember this, that he did have two playoff games where he did not score 10 or more points during that stretch. It was back in the Eastern Conference Finals in 2014. That's not the one. 2011 Finals. I think that's the one they still go. LeBron, really? Against the Mavericks? Yeah, they lost that one. We talked about Giannis Antetokounmpo yesterday, and we know about the buzz of possibly going to New York, and his future is in doubt. In Milwaukee, his health is in doubt. 2 to 4 weeks, he's going to be out with a calf strain. Jensen, I wonder how much this puts on hold exactly the things we talked about 24 hours ago.
Certainly. And the due diligence will definitely happen, but you want to make sure that we know it. We've seen it in many sports, right, Dave? For whatever reason, calf injuries, they stay with you, man. I mean, that is a really, really tough injury to overcome. And obviously for the sport of basketball where you're up and down, you're jumping, that's something that it needs to be 100% healed before I think any team gets into the business of, yeah, we're willing to give up 3-4 first round picks to bring in a new face of the franchise.
As somebody that suffers from calf cramps, trust you me, it is very, very painful out there. All right, when we come back, let's get back to what we saw last night. Are the Lions really now somebody we have to readjust in the futures market? We'll discuss that next right here on VSiN by the Books. Continue the Friday edition of VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here, and we talk about all the time making very smart bets, and smart advertisers are doing the same with Mission Media. If you want real results, Mission Media connects your brand with audiences that actually engage. From premium podcasts and connected TV to data-driven digital campaigns, they're going to deliver measurable ROI. And as VSiN's exclusive ad partner, Mission Media gives you direct access to one of the most loyal, action-oriented sports audiences anywhere. Your brand deserves more than impressions. It deserves influence. Get started at VSiN.com/advertise or email us at advertising@VSiN.com. Back alongside Jensen Lewis, Dave Ross here on a Pick Up the Pieces Friday if you're a Dallas Cowboy backer. You and I were talking during the break as the Cowboys go down 44-30 to the Lions last night. And you look at the readjusted numbers here, right? So now you got to lay $18 if you want the Eagles to win the division. You do that math. The Eagles would have to lose at least three of their last five down the stretch, and the Cowboys now would have to run the table. That table has gotten shorter, four games to get to 10-6-1 and have an opportunity to still win that division. Cowboys to make the playoffs, 7-1, the readjusted price this morning. Boy, I fell for the okey-doke in the defense. I thought they had turned a corner, and it did not look good last night. Credit to the Lions. Still a very good offense, even though they were down. Amon Ross St. Brown was a wounded duck, and yet he still had a big day. Jensen, did any of those numbers in the futures market, do you look at the Eagles independently of what the Cowboys did last night and say, I have to trust Philadelphia to figure it out? And oh, by the way, that's just an 8-4 football team.
Yeah, I told you yesterday that this felt more like the season on the line for the Lions, just considering where they were from head-to-head position, win-loss percentage in games played within not only the division, but also within common games. I'm just looking at some of the tiebreakers just to reiterate to people who don't know how that is predicated when you get down to these final couple of games, because here's the rub. Just for the Dallas scenario now, Dave, they're under 500 by a couple of games in the conference. So that's already a pretty big mark against them. You fall back to 500, even with the tie, you now don't have the head-to-head with Detroit, who you have to circumvent to be able to get in to striking distance for a playoff spot. And even then, the final wild card spot right now is held by the Niners, who are 9-4. Cowboys are 6-6. You see where the math really does not help out Dallas at this point. So the only viable path is mathematically likely in the division. And even then, you and I were talking in the break too, you look at where Philadelphia watches that game last night. They wake up today, sort of a sigh of relief. Okay. You know, they're not hard charging anymore. That's a critical loss. Now the bottom really would have to fall out for Philly for them to not be able to, you know, get into a position where they can just kind of wrap this division up in the next couple of weeks. So that loss detrimental on multiple fronts. So yeah, to answer your question, I don't know if there's any future number right now for the Cowboys that I really want to get behind.
Yeah, my long shots, I do have a 9-1 for the Cowboys from weeks ago to make the postseason when they were 3-5-1. So there's no reason to reinvest at 7-1 here, the shorter number today. Certainly 100-1 to win the conference. That's dripped down to 55-1 after that loss last night. So the numbers are getting longer again for those Cowboys. They've got to figure out a way to get in there at 10-6-1. And I heard Brian Schottenheimer say after the game, hey, we can only play them. We're going to go try to do our part. And they do. They're like in the Chiefs scenario now of, we got to try to win out. That's what the Chiefs are doing there on their side at 500. And then you hope for the best. But it does not look good after last night. For the Lions, their number now is minus $1.50 to make the postseason. And I mentioned this to you yesterday before the game, obviously on Thursday Night Football, what team I thought they matched up the best with. They're going to get that opportunity next week against the Rams. Now, they're going to get a full 10 days off before they go to L.A. That's going to be a very interesting game to me because we'll see what the Rams do against Arizona. Let's say the Rams win that game. That's a three-loss Rams team. If the Lions can go to SoFi and get a win, you mentioned head-to-head, that would drop the Rams to 4, put the Lions at 9-5. That means the Rams, forget about the division for a second, if they weren't able to usurp Seattle or San Francisco to win the division and they got into a wild card scenario, that game next week or in 10 days would be massive in a long way, potentially, if the Rams trip up, say, against Seattle down the stretch. All of a sudden, they'd be looking at a head-to-head with Detroit, potentially, for that last wild card. Jensen, it gets really dicey in the NFC all of a sudden if you lose one or even two games, certainly down the stretch. That's how good the top end of the NFC is right now.
Yeah, and the Rams, critically, with the win over Seattle as far as the head-to-head, that's big for them right now. So that's propping them up. That's keeping them where they are. And then with Detroit, you know, the getting swept by Green Bay really stinks for them because now you don't even get an opportunity to go to another tiebreaker. It is Green Bay with the full sweep. And now, even if you come level with them, you lose out on that tiebreaker from the head-to-head standpoint. I am very interested not only in next week's game, as you said, between the Lions and the Rams, but you look at just the rest of where the NFC is. And, gosh, bringing up Seattle, okay? Seattle will host Indianapolis. Does Indianapolis almost become a really desperate team if they somehow, some way cannot find a way to finally win in Jacksonville for what seems like forever? And then on the backdrop of that, speaking of Green Bay, Green Bay's in Denver taking on arguably the hottest team as far as consecutive wins and trying to beat Bo Nix, who at least in this regular season has looked absolutely unbeatable at home. This is a fascinating late window next week, and that is going to have such a ripple effect on where Detroit ultimately is going to have any opportunity to jump over a couple of those teams. I bring that up because the Niners on bye this week, they have the Titans next week. So the road here gets very narrow as far as Detroit needing teams in front of them to lose without being able to really control their own destiny.
And that's the problem, because I'm looking at Detroit at right now, again, odds on to make the postseason. That's the belief that they're good enough to win three of their last four, be 11-6 at worst. Again, they could still win out here and be a 12-5 football team. That's going to get them in the postseason. If the Lions win out, they're going to make the postseason one way or the other. Now, you see their win total adjusted to 10.5. They're plus 650 to win the division. Now, that's really tricky when you get swept by Green Bay. So you would assume that right now they'd be big Bears fans, right? That's what they'd need, the Lions, to get back into this race at +650 to win the division. By the way, the Bears are +$1.75. Despite being the number one overall seed right now in the NFC, they're still almost a 2-1 dog to win their own division. Packers are odds on at -$1.40. If you're Detroit, you do have that last game of the year against Chicago. So the only thread of the needle there to potentially get back into the divisional race is somehow Chicago sweeps Green Bay, and yet Chicago loses pretty much the other three, including the game to the Lions, which would give Detroit a sweep of Chicago. So there is a pathway, Jensen, for Detroit, but it's really narrow, and you really do need the Bears' help this weekend against Green Bay.
Yeah, and one other thing to keep in mind, too, as far as head-to-heads go, the Lions at least have a head-to-head win against Tampa Bay, and you and I have previewed that, and that division ends up getting decided here in the next 2 to 3 weeks because of Carolina and Tampa Bay meeting each other. So we said this for the Eagles early on, so you kind of look back at the top here, Dave. Philly winning, it might have been ugly, but man, those head-to-head tiebreakers is going to insulate Philadelphia as far as their path to getting in. So much more viable with Dallas's loss last night. It can be the division. If they trip up here at the end, it could still be a wild card. So they have much more room for error than potentially some of these NFC West and these NFC North teams too.
Yeah, and the fascinating part about that tie with Green Bay and Dallas, you go way back when that happened early on in the year. Detroit has to finish ahead. They have to have more wins,
yes,
obviously, by being swept by Green Bay. And right now in the win column, they are tied with Green Bay at 8 wins. So again, games in hand here for Green Bay going forward, where they're going to have the opportunity, obviously, to pull right ahead with that Bears game this weekend. But if the Bears were able to win and beat Green Bay, that would be the elixir for Detroit to get back in the mix. But again, they'd have to take care of business in L.A. next week and run the table. There's no other way around that. They'd have to be 12-5 and hope that somehow the Packers only win 3 of their remaining games to get to 11-6-1. That's the scenario for Detroit to win it, and they'd have to obviously sweep Chicago in that scenario and get help from Chicago sweeping Green Bay and Chicago losing one other time, not just Detroit. So there are iterations to get there for Detroit, but it does feel like at -$1.50, the odds market's telling you they believe Detroit is at least a playoff team. Let's break down that Bears and Packers game and some other big ones, including the Texans and Chiefs. We'll do that next right here on VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis. If you want to bet smarter with smarter insights, you got to check out VSiN.com, and what a day to do so. Right now, we got Hoops Peterson. His college basketball top plays are up. UFC 323. We've got the picks up there. And again, shout out to Rob Moreno. First Strike, great show this week. We had a 2 guests for the price of 1 this week. So wherever you get your pods, check that out. We'll play a little clip of that, and later going to have Lou Finicaro on the program as well. Steve Mackinnon has his best bets up right now for week 14 in the NFL. Zachary Cohen with his NBA best bets and props. JD, Jonathan Davis, the Iceman Cometh, with his top plays in the NHL. And Wes Reynolds, Matt Humans, their best plays and bets for college football. So we're going to extend that Black Friday special only until Sunday, people. So you need to get on this if you haven't done so already. Get full access to everything we do until May 1st for just $60 when you go to VSiN.com/subscribe. Do so right now. Back alongside Jensen Lewis, and let's talk about some of these big-time matchups, Jensen, that we have this weekend in the NFL. Even during the break, we were going over those iterations for the Lions at +650. How could they get back into this divisional race? They're going to be big Chicago Bear fans, ironically, because that Thanksgiving loss to Green Bay, with Green Bay getting this sweep, really puts them up behind the eight ball. Yes, they both have 8 wins right now, but the Packers as 6.5-point favorites to get this done against the Bears. You made a good point. The Packers are -$1.40 right now to win the division. If they beat the Bears on Sunday, where does that number go? $3 betting favorite? Mm-hmm. It's going to get pricey if the Packers, and they're $3 money line favorites to beat the Bears Sunday in Lambeau.
This is a unique exercise, and we really try to employ it with people who want to be more in control of what money you put in and what money you keep on the sidelines. We love futures like anyone else, but there are those out there that would love a little more flexibility, shall we say. And so this divisional race sets up for an excellent mathematical exercise. We would assume that where things are because of the head-to-head nature of the Bears and the Packers, if you are a believer the Lions can still win the NFC North, it makes much more sense for you to roll the money lines the rest of the way. And we say that because, let's take your example. If the Bears beat the Packers on Sunday, that means the Bears are 10-3. That would make the Packers 8-4-1. So the Lions, yes, they have the same amount of wins as the Packers, but technically they are a full game behind, because if they tie by virtue of the head-to-head tiebreaker, the Packers would finish ahead of the Lions. So we would assume that the Lions probably have to win out, right? They'd probably have to get to 12-5, and the Packers would at least need to lose two more games, okay? That means the Bears versus the Lions all of a sudden in week 18 might mean something. But to get there, you're looking at the price today, Dave. It's plus 650 for the Lions to win the North. You can absolutely take them and roll the money lines here for at least the next couple of weeks and then decide your own fate here. Do you want to keep going and put all that money and roll it over? Or do you want to take at least your initial stake in some profit and then see week after week what the results are for Green Bay, Chicago, and Detroit? So if you don't want to tie it up for another month at the plus 650 price, go ahead and kind of build out what you believe the Lions money line prices will be for at least the next 3 weeks, because then obviously we know if it comes down to week 18, that is what it is. It's the straight up money line price at that point between Chicago and Detroit. So that's why we try and preach that to people. When we talk about the money line rollover, it's more of do the math on, does it make more sense with that money line rollover price and what that will pay you versus what the current price is for the divisional future. To me, and I know you and I will look at this in other places too. Yeah, if Green Bay wins on Sunday, it might be a wrap, just because they're 4-0 in the NFC North. It would take basically them losing out the rest of the way and then the Bears and the Lions winning out until week 18 for this to be viable in a different pathway for Chicago or Detroit to win the NFC North.
Love that advice. That's why I'd probably play the Pack. If you really like the Packers on Sunday, play them minus $1.40 to win the division, because they win this game, to Jensen's point, they're going to have a huge leg up, even if Chicago got the equalizer in a couple weeks. So that'd be a much better price. I talk about the money line rollover a lot with my friends and close friends, and they're still confused by it. I did it in the World Series a little bit once the Blue Jays were ahead 3-2 with the Dodgers and 6-7. Like, it's different ways to monetize. I did it with the Cowboys the last couple weeks. So, yes, I lost last night on the Cowboys, but was able to basically play with house money. There are different ways to attack it, and I love that strategy, Jensen. And I'll be looking at that for the Lions as a big dog against the Rams. Instead of playing the plus 650 to win the division, they'd have to beat the Rams to get that started. That's going to be the first investment point here, as probably three-point dogs, you would think, at least in L.A. next week. Texans and Chiefs, when you look at this one on Sunday Night Football, and Kansas City, this is, you know, kind of like we're talking about with these teams that have to win out. Both these teams, kind of like the Cowboys and Lions last night, might be in similar situations, and yet, barring a tie, only one can win. Do you like the Chiefs as a possible rollover spot? You could start that this week as 3.5-point favorites against the Texans, because I don't know that I want to lay the 3 at $1.20. I might actually want to spend more on the money line price and lay the $1.85.
Yeah, and again, that's probably where you look at Kansas City's path and what their viability is. We go back to looking at the standings overall. Who are the teams that Kansas City would need to circumvent? Well, they'd have to get over the Steelers. those aforementioned Texans that if Kansas City wins on Sunday night, both teams are 7-6, but Kansas City then leapfrogs Houston because of the head-to-head tiebreaker. The Bills occupy the final wild card spot, but there are a host of teams, Dave, that are at 8-4. Jacksonville leading the AFC South at the moment, and of course Houston will still have something to say about that. They are 8-4. Colts are 8-4. I mentioned the Bills at 8-4, and then also the Chargers at 8-4. So Kansas City's going to know at least a little bit more if they win on Sunday night, and they will be massive Philadelphia Eagle fans for sure. Also on Monday Night Football. So again, looking at this exercise, would you rather have the Chiefs at, you know, plus 950 of where they are, or do the hypothetical math here, Dave? They're a 3.5-point favorite at home against the Texans. We would assume that they'd be a short home favorite against the Chargers. And again, that's all predicated on Justin Herbert playing and getting through healthy on Monday Night Football. They're going to be probably at least a touchdown favorite at Tennessee. So that's going to be a longer money line price. And then Christmas night at home against Denver. I mean, is that close to a pick 'em? Is that a point and a half? You know, what would you make that line? And then who knows in week 18 when they're on the road in Vegas against the Raiders. So kind of do this math side by side. I know a lot of our colleagues, I'm sure Steve Mackinnon, does this as well. But when you think about where that ROI is, Dave, that's, again, another great exercise that compare the make the playoff price for Kansas City versus where you would be as far as that money line rollover goes.
I do think it'd actually be a shame if the Colts didn't make the playoffs. But, you know, injuries happen. And Danny Dimes right now, Indiana Jones, is running around on essentially a broken leg. I mean, if we're being honest about it, right? They're a point and a half favorites against Jacksonville down there in Duval, total 47.5. There is a scenario where the Colts free fall and they don't make the playoffs, Jensen. And that free fall could already be in effect. Now, even the quote unquote free fall, they're playing decent football. It's just they're a wounded duck a little bit. Cry me a river, Cowboys, Lions, injury. Everybody's got injuries. We get it. But when they're to your best player, or if Jonathan Taylor's your best player, your most important player at the quarterback position, how do you look at the Colts? Because all of a sudden, this one down in Jacksonville, a place they don't play well in historically, becomes very, very important.
Man, this was a team at the beginning of the year, probably through the first 8 weeks, Dave, where we looked at them and thought, okay, maybe it is for real. And that's not just because Jonathan Taylor off to his historic start, Daniel Jones as well, but the defense was actually really viable. The health of Sauce Gardner moving forward is a huge caveat of what Indianapolis can do, particularly against the teams they'll face. Until I'm proven wrong, until I see it with my own eyes, they've got to find a way to beat Jacksonville in Jacksonville. If you can't win that, then what are you doing? What is my faith in the Indianapolis Colts going on the road in a wild card scenario, even if they get there? I can't get there if you can't beat a divisional rival like Jacksonville.
Plus 240 for the Colts to miss the playoffs. Duval, Seattle, San Francisco, a return date with Jacksonville and Houston. Give me that, give me that no price at plus 240. This might be a Tom Petty free fall scenario right here. Let's catch up with Thomas Gable next at the Borgata. How do the books make out, and how are they seeing the Eagle money for Monday Night Football against the Chargers? That's next right here. Eason by the books.
You're tuned in to Eason by the Books right here on Eason.
We are back, Leeson by the Books, on this Friday morning. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis here with you. We always love being transported, if you will, Jensen, to our next guest, Thomas Gable, at the Borgata in Atlantic City. He's right there in a beautiful island there in Atlantic City. I miss my old AC days of going on the boardwalk and checking that out. Might be a little bit cold to do that today. Thomas joins us here on the Progressive Guest Line. Give him a follow on X at T Gable Sports. TG, is it still warm enough to walk the boardwalk there for the people in Atlantic City?
Not for me, it is, and you're not going to catch me out there. I'm not going to be walking around, but there are some diehards that they love to get their steps in. So you see them out there on the beach, and you know it doesn't matter. I guess as long as it's not snowing or raining, they'll be out there. And we haven't quite dipped below freezing yet here. I know if you go a little bit inland, it is below freezing, but here at the beach, at least, it is not yet.
Yeah, frigid here in Northeast Ohio, Thomas. Real feel of 3 degrees, and that's probably the chances there for unfortunately Dave's Dallas Cowboys to make the postseason. Might be on ice at this point. How did you guys do last night? Was it one? We got the numbers of what viewership was over Thanksgiving. It was just wild to see that number between the Chiefs and the Cowboys. Obviously, a pseudo playoff game for both Dallas and Detroit last night. Where did you guys sit after the result last night, and then kind of looking forward here to this weekend?
Well, there's ratings. I mean, it is America's team, right, Dave? So, I mean, that's why they pull those monster ratings on Thanksgiving. So, now, listen, Cowboys' money line for last night was a very, very popular play. So we ended up pretty good result for the game. Obviously, the total flew over. I mean, at least financially for us, was a profitable night with a lot of Cowboys backers, a lot of people on the money line last night. So Detroit gets the win. Now, obviously, Dallas, you know, I guess, Dave, your future tickets on Dallas and for the division on life support, you don't have to tear them up quite yet, but Eagles now minus 2,000 to win the NFC East, and certainly – I think in these parts, you know, people are breathing a little bit easier after last night. There was certainly some pressure that Dallas was applying there the last couple weeks, with not only the way the Eagles have looked, but also the way the Cowboys have looked. But pretty much this division for the NFC East, I think, is all but completed here, barring a major, major collapse from Philadelphia. You know, on the Detroit side of things, you have obviously two teams above them. Their path in their division going to be tough. It's going to be tough. Obviously, you have a huge game going on this Sunday between the Packers and the Bears. But losing twice to the Packers in, you know, that's just, you're really up against it for the Lions to have any shot to win that division. So we have them currently plus 750 in that division. But Packers obviously are the favorites at this point to win that division. And it's, you know, the Bears, the jury's still out on them. I mean, yes, if the playoffs started today, they're the number one seed. But I don't think there's a ton of people that are necessarily believing in them. And, you know, even from a power rating perspective, yeah, I've increased their power rating, but they're still not in that upper tier of the NFC. Now, again, you can only face the opponents that you are put on the schedule, and they've done, you know, again, the record's there. But in terms of just this team overall, you know, they're not going to be favored against any of these top NFC teams.
No, they're not at all. And guilty as charged here, Thomas, falling into the trap for the Cowboys' money line prices last night. And I still have my Toronto Blue Jays ticket. I haven't ripped that one up yet from the World Series. So those Cowboy tickets, I'm going to rip up a little bit quicker if things go further south. You mentioned the Eagles. It would take a historic collapse. We did see one a couple years ago. They're going to go to L.A. They're 2.5-point favorites here. But Jalen Carter's going to be out with the shoulder surgeries on both shoulders, ironically. What are the bettors saying there in your neck of the woods? Are they backing the Eagles in this spot on the road and laying the small price in about $1.40 is what I'm seeing, $1.50 on the money line?
Yeah, you know what? I mean, there is still a lot of angst around this team locally. I don't know if it made it kind of into national news, but I don't know if you saw this. After the Black Friday game, Kevin Petullo's house was actually egged. By people after that result. So I saw a report that Jalen Hurts was ruled out as a suspect right away because the eggs hit the target. But the that's it was, you know, that's just kind of where the mindset is of this fan base at this point. You know, they're obviously looking for somebody to blame. Yes, the Eagles are leading the division, but nobody's really feeling good about the future prospects for this team this season. I mean, it's just, at least the way that they look offensively on that side of the ball, it just, they have yet to play one complete game on, you know, it's like a broken record every week, but we still have yet to see it happen. So I actually make this game Eagles a 1-point favorite. And we opened at Eagles 2.5 with the market, but I just think some major changes need to happen on the offensive side of the ball for Philly, you know, and in terms of what we're seeing on this game, it's pretty much 50-50 betting splits on this for us. You know, Eagles did touch 3 at one point, but back down to 2.5, and totals dropped also from the opener. So, I mean, Justin Herbert did have surgery on his offhand, on his left hand there. So we'll see if anything comes of that. Obviously, he's going to go, but this is I think the Cowboys losing last night really, I think, maybe let some people breathe a sigh of relief here around Philadelphia. But if the Eagles go out there and lose this game on Monday night, it's going to get pretty ugly.
It's going to be a fascinating dynamic, too, just with how Philly needs to kind of pull themselves up by their bootstraps here. Okay, we're into conference championship night here tonight and tomorrow, Thomas. Where do you stand for these college football title games? And it's the first time we get a chance to get your unblemished thoughts about where this CFP selection is going to be come Sunday morning.
Well, I mean, listen, the whole CFP thing, I hate to sound like an old man yelling at clouds, but the whole committee here that makes this, this is all based around one thing, and that's money. It's, you know, what teams are going to get in to get the best ratings, you know, the kind of where you, how they rate these teams, and the criteria used seems to change week to week. So it's a tough look. It's a tough look for fans. There are going to be teams that are left out. It's the same conversation we have every year around March Madness. And it seems like the smaller guys are going to be the ones left on the outside looking in. And again, when everything is predicated on money, that's what happens. So you're going to see, you know, the programs that like the Alabamas and so forth, they may get a little push in there from the committee that, you know, other teams may not. I think Notre Dame, more than likely you're going to see them in it. You know, and, you know, the other key game that's, I guess, tonight, well, not necessarily a key game. I mean, they're 23.5-point favorites, James Madison. James Madison could find himself in this if somehow Duke wins the ACC championship. The ACC may not even be represented in the college football playoffs. So that's certainly a scenario that's out there. But in terms of the games on Saturday, obviously the Saturday slate are the big ones with Georgia and Alabama going for the SEC title. And then the Big Ten championship between Indiana and Ohio State. Anytime you have the 1 and 2 teams in the country, number 1 and number 2 facing off, you're going to get significant right on that game. And certainly by far, this game has the most handle written on it. Ohio State down to 4-point favorites right now, 4.5s out there. And I think, Joe, this Ohio State team's just been such a juggernaut on defense all year. Indiana, you know, I don't think either team is going to get hurt here by a loss. Both should have a bye in the playoffs. But, Ohio State has just looked so, so strong defensively this year that they're going to be tough to beat.
Absolutely are, and you're right about that. Just call it a college football invitational and just make it who you want it to be in. because it's not always by merit. Well said, TG. Appreciate the time as always. Everybody, if you're out there at the Borgata, go say hi to Thomas when he's not too busy on these weekends that we're going to have this weekend as well. When we come back, we're going to get a little preview of UFC 323. That's next right here at VSiN by the Books.